I have a heavy word for you today. Har, har, har. Sometimes you got to bring out the big book. Just teasing. Hallelujah. But this is a wonderful book. This is my family Bible. It was given from my mom and dad. I had the only one which the pages were upside down in the Bible when it was put together. God kind of knew me that when I was reading it, while I was beginning with, I was reading it upside down. Then it was kind of amazing when he turned it right side up. It started making a little more sense. Hallelujah. It was all Greek and Hebrew to me before until it was turned the right way. Hallelujah. Praise God. And in the middle of it, there's a picture of my mom and daddy. Amen. Mighty man and woman of God. Amen. But I am going to use two Bibles today. Praise God. You know, a couple weeks ago, we started this fast of weeks. And Lord, man, boy, I was praying for all this revelation and all these things that the Lord was going to show me during the fast so far. And every time I get into the prayer closet and the prayer room, all he wants to do is talk about me. Lord, can we talk about somebody else? But the Lord says, no, I just want to talk about you. And when I speak the word and when I'm bringing the word forth today, it comes to my house first. It comes to me first. And I want you to understand that we're all a work in progress, and we thank God for that amazing grace that flows down from heaven. Amen. That amazing grace. Amen. Amen. I want you to understand with me this morning. You know, when Jesus was writing his love letters to the churches in Revelations, the churches were already covered by the blood. They're already filled with the Spirit. I mean, he's writing to the New Age church. But in love, he showed them, he said, man, y'all are doing this good, y'all doing that great, and you're doing real good here. But there's some areas I want you to take a peek at. I want you to look at them. He didn't say it in condemnation. He said, hey, I'm sharing it with you in love so that when I come that you'll be prepared, so that you'll know the truth. You know, that Jesus came to save sinners such as every last one of us. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There ain't no one in the house that hasn't sinned. Amen? And when God is speaking to the churches in the book of Revelations, I want you to understand that he's really speaking to grown-ups, to mature Christians. You know, and if he was speaking to everybody in the world, nobody could ever come to the church because nobody could ever be into the place where they're in a revelation of new life of Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, the first thing would be that people would say, well, I'm just going to give my heart to the Lord and I'm going to stay out of church because when I go to church, I'm going to learn the word and I'm going to be responsible for the word and I have to give an account. But if you've been given the Spirit of God in your heart, the Spirit of God is going to convict you, whether you're in church or out of church, you're still going to get Holy Ghost conviction. When you're wrong, you're wrong. When you're right, you're right. Amen? So God, in his love and his mercy, he isn't winking at our wrong, but what he is saying is, hey, my love and my grace is pouring out on you. I've sent you a helper. I've sent you a friend. I've sent you an advocate. You could have never done it by yourself. That's why I gave you a helper. And when we're dealing with things in our lives and there's issues that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal them to us to beat us up. The Holy Spirit reveals them to us to help us through. You know, God, you know, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any, none, should perish, but that all would come to repentance. In other words, so as the word comes forth, we're just going to listen to what the Spirit says. Well, we started the first week in our fast, and we were talking about the apostolic church, and we were talking about the church at Ephesus. And the Lord told us to remember, to repent, and return to our first love, and to do the first works. So we talked about that, and then last week we talked about the persecuted church. That they went through, that as a Christian, as a child of God, you're going to go through battles. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel, but God wants you to understand that you're blessed. Remember that $10 million trust fund? Remember that God was saying that you may be in this life, but you promised a better life to come? That you're going to go through some trials and some tests in this life, but in the life to come, you're going to be blessed. Not that you're not blessed now. I'm blessed today. Amen? He says, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to witness kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is in you. The kingdom of heaven is in me as a child of God. Amen? So as we're walking in this, sometimes when you open up something and you go through and you listen to the Lord and He's leading you in a direction, and you get in this area and say, Lord, can we like go somewhere else? Lord, can I go in a different direction? And He says to me, you started it, now you see it through. Amen. So when we open this up and we see it, we're going to have to go through. But I just want you to get something in your spirit today before we ever get started. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Before I get in the Word, I don't know where the Holy Spirit's leading us, but he had the big book out. So. Hey, remember that everything's about love. God loves you. God loves me. He loved us so much that he's writing these letters. But in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, the Word of God says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? In other words, when we're speaking the word of God today and every day in our lives, we're not to judge anyone. Jesus made it simple. He said, why you look at the mote in your brother's eye, pull the plank out of your own. You know, and when we're looking at these letters and revelation, God deals with different areas of life, okay? And he's going to deal with an area today. And so just take heed and listen to what the Spirit of God has to say to the church this morning. You with me? Amen. Amen. Now, I always preach, I told my daddy, made him a vow to my daddy that I only always preach out of the King James, and I will preach out of this Bible today. Hallelujah. But when I was looking at something, when I was looking at the church of Pergamos, and Pergamum, the church that we're going to talk about, per meaning elevated, gamen is, they were elevated to idolatry. Matter of fact, Pergamon is recognized as the seat of Satan, the place where Satan dwells. It used to be Babylon, but Babylon had fallen, and now it's in Pergamos, it's in Asia. And what it was, there was so much idol worship. There's like 10,000 gods that they worship in this area, and it became the seat. There's, you know, you have Buddha, you have all these different idols that they believe are their gods. They're not just worshiping stuff. They're actually worshiping. So it was a center of idol worship. And so what he is saying in the midst of this letter, he's writing them, this church is on fire with Holy Ghost fire. They're ministering, and they're right in the middle of darkness, of the strongest place of darkness. It's like, you know, if you're going to build your church, to build your church in the middle of the hood. And I'm not calling it the hood because, I'm calling it the hood because that's where, when we were in the hood, that's where we hung out. And this place, God, the center of Satan's seat was the place that the Lord put Pergamum. And God sent that church there. But what they were dealing with was sort of like in Galatians chapter 5. If you open up your Bible, or you can just read it on the PowerPoint. In Galatians 5. This was sort of like what Paul was speaking when they were mixing circumcision with uncircumcision and mixing the law with grace. I'm not getting the right book. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "For we, not relying on the law, but through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith anticipate and wait for the blessing and good for which our righteousness and right standing with God, our conformity to his will and purpose, thought and action, causes us to hope. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. You were running the race nobly. Who has interfered in, hindered, and stopped you from your heeding and following the truth? This evil persuasion is not from him who called you, who invited you to freedom in Christ. A little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers leavens the whole lump. It perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church. For my part, I have confidence towards you in the Lord that you will take no contrary view of the matter, but will come to think with me. But he who is unsettling you, whoever he is, will have to bear the penalty." In other words, what Paul was saying and what Jesus is saying to this church in Pergamos is there's some things that are coming in that aren't of him. And he is saying, for you and I as the church, as the body of Christ, we're in this world, we're not of this world. We've been called out of this world. We're a peculiar treasure to him. In other words, we can be in this world and not be as this world because of the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not for what I did, it's not what you have done, but it's what Jesus did for you and I on the cross of Calvary. On the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. So let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse number 12, and we'll get to our text this morning, and we'll see what the Lord has to say to us through the preaching and teaching of his word. In verse number 12, it says, "Unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These saith he which have the sharp sword with two edges." Amen. Understand what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So when he's coming, it's judged by the word. He's got the word. In other words, this is our guideline. You know, this is everything. He's given us everything we need to live a righteous, full life in him. You know, matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the sharp two-edged sword is the word, which cuts open and pierces the heart and convicts the heart and slices away sin. Amen? It's like a surgery that's done without hands. Amen? It's done by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Amen? So verse 13 says, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, Because thou hast there them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So thou hast them that hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Amen. So we find that God in his word and Jesus Christ, he loves them. He's commending them for being faithful, for being steadfast. But he is saying, man, I've got some things against you because you're allowing some things to come in that aren't of me. Amen. In other words, take notice of them and watch. Amen. And repent. You know, this whole theme is remember. Repent and return to the Lord. That's where the Lord's in. So today, the title of this morning's message, well, I'm going to focus on verse number 14 that says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam and taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And you have to understand, if you go back to Numbers 22, 23, 24, and 25, you'll find that Balak called Balaam to come and try to curse the children of Israel, and he couldn't do it. But after he left, he had another ploy. He sent the women of Moab to tempt the children of Israel to sleep with Moab, which was the enemy of God. Okay? So this is what had came in. And he said, this is what was taking place in this church in Pergamos. There was so much idolatry and there were so much things going on. They were being tempted and swayed to become like the world and take things and partake of things of the world and not of Christ. Okay? So the title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is A Deeper Revelation of Truth. A Deeper Revelation of Truth. Jesus said, and John 8, he said that you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And who the Son has made free is free indeed. Amen? In other words, without the truth, you'll never be free. And the problem is everybody wants to bend the truth to make it fit lives around the world. I'm just going to say this, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, because I encourage you to discern. The Lord led me yesterday to look at a Christian television station. And I watched the different people speak for about 4 hours yesterday. And I was so confused after they were done. I mean, I was totally confused. And the Lord said, see, look at the deception that's being taught. I had one pastor stand up there and say, there's no such thing as a literal heaven and hell. It's just a mindset. Whatever you think and whatever you experience is, that's what it is. You know? And all these people, hey, hallelujah, praise God. And others say that you're covered with grace, 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 grace. You continue to do whatever you want. You got the blood of Jesus Christ over you. Now, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you don't want that. You know, there's a change. And God doesn't send his word to condemn anybody. You know, the Bible says there's therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So as the word comes through. Now, but what I'm trying to say is, if you don't know where the truth is, you live in deception. And Jesus says, and you'll know the truth, and that's what's going to set you free. For me to adjust the word to fit your life and your lifestyle is bending the truth. Amen? But at the same time, when he's speaking the word, he is telling you and I, he loves you, he has greater things for you, and if you're caught in something, trust him, let the Spirit of help, the Spirit of the Lord help you, because the last thing he wants to do is beat anybody up. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants us all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm looking at a deeper revelation of the truth. The three things that I want to share with you today is the association, the apprehension, and the application. In other words, we're going to look at what he's talking about and what we associate with. He's talking about what we apprehend or what we arrest or what we take in and how we take this and apply it to our hearts and our lives. Are you ready? Amen. Let's lift the word together and let's make a declaration in the house today. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word, and we're grateful for the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the strength, the liberty and freedom that we have in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray, Father God, that you speak through this vessel today. May Carl get out of your way, Father God, and may the words that proceed out of this mouth be edifying. May they be encouraging. May they be comforting, Father God. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So first, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to talk about the association. Association. What I associate with. Again, we're in this world. We're not of this world. God is not telling us to come out of the world. But he's given us encouragement of what to associate with. You know, you become what you hang out with. Hello? One of the things that gets me, I see it happen so many times, when people go through situations and battles and relationship, which the enemy is always trying to destroy marriages, that we have a tendency to go back to the same place we found our last one to find a new one. Bible says for us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So if you don't want to go through the same thing again, find a believer. Find someone that's after Jesus. Find someone that's after Jesus' heart. And as you're yoking together with that, you're both going in the same direction. One of the things the Lord spoke to me one time is about so many feel that they get yoked with an unbeliever because they feel, well, I'll just change them. They'll change after we get married. And if you weren't good enough for them to change before you got married, you're not going to be good enough for them to change afterwards. Amen? Just a thought. That was just, hey, dang. That was Pastor Carl's opinion, not God's opinion. Let's verify, you know. God didn't say that to you just now. Pastor Carl said that to you. Well, that ain't fair. You're sitting there saying you're preaching and you're going to tell me what God has to say, and you said that, and I said, Yes, I did. All right? That was a pastoral suggestion. Hello? Can I make suggestions? You know, out of life and out of experience and the things that we've been through, you know, that God allows us all to go through things to learn from them. Everything's a learning lesson.
Amen.
You know, I just had this this book that was given to me, John Maxwell, Sometimes You Win and Sometimes You Learn. Everything's a learning experience in life. And we've gathered here today to what? We gathered today to learn. So as we're delving in the Word of God, we're gathered to learn. So listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33. Now God is speaking. This isn't Pastor Carl speaking. This is the inspired Word of God. So every time this comes forth, God is speaking. In other words, Lord, I'm not hearing you. And he says, well, open the book. Because every time you read or hear the word, God is speaking. So he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Matter of fact, if you study that communication out in the Greek, it would be like evil companionship corrupts good manners. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And in other words, he's saying he has given us the Spirit of God. We're in the light. Rise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen. Darkness shall cover the earth, the gross darkness of people, but the light has risen upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you and I. In other words, we're not walking in darkness any longer. We're walking in the light. And Jesus says this, and God's word says this. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of unrighteousness, but rather reprove them. In other words, I heard someone say, I heard this yesterday. It was kind of interesting. And again, everybody's a sinner, so I'm not picking anybody, but I heard a minister say this. He says that Jesus was walking on the earth today, that Jesus would be hanging out with the homosexuals and the prostitutes and the thieves and the drunkards, and he'd be hanging out with them. And they're absolutely right. But when Jesus hung out with them, they wouldn't be a homosexual any longer. They wouldn't be a drunkard any longer. They wouldn't be a thief any longer. Hello?
Amen.
Hello? In other words, Jesus didn't come to leave them the way he found them.
Amen.
He came to bring light. Remember when the woman was caught in the act of adultery? And he was writing in the sand and she looked up, and there was no one there, but he looked up, and there was nobody left but her. And he said, woman, where art thou accusers? And she said, there are none, Lord. He said, neither do I go in. He didn't say, go on and get it on with someone else. Come on. Come on. He said, hey, you've been forgiven, and I've given you a friend. I've given you a helper so that you can be victorious. I don't know about you, but all the way through my life, when I used to pick up Jesus every Easter, hello? Every Easter I go to my daddy's church, I pick me up some Jesus. All right? I did it every Easter. Every Easter. Amen. Then on Monday, back the same old day, the same old thing. See, and you know, I never, when I picked them up on Easter, I never had the Spirit of God. And he showed me one day. Because I never truly surrendered and died and asked him to be Lord of my life. I picked him up as Savior, but not as my Lord. And that day that I picked him up and made him Lord of my life, the old man started dying. The old man started disappearing. I couldn't wait to get back in church. I couldn't wait to learn the word. Oh, my poor brother. My younger brother's a pastor. He discipled me from Maryland. I was on the phone with him 3 or 4 hours a day. Man, I had a question about everything. Every time I got in the word, I wanted. I was hungry. I wanted the answers. Amen. Until he trained me to trust the one that was within me.
That's true. Amen.
Sometimes God wants you to understand. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And that greater the one that's within you, if you would search within you, the Holy Spirit will reveal things and show you things. And you wouldn't have to be running around trying to get this from this one or that one or this one. And you wouldn't be searching all over for the answer because the answer is within you. Amen. Amen. The word of God. And that doesn't excuse us from fellowshipping together in the body of Christ. Because you know what? I saw on this thing, one of the things I saw when I was watching this TV thing, and I guess this is coming up for a purpose. I saw him say, stay home and join this church over the internet. Send your tithes to us over the internet. Send that this is your church, join us, and you never have to leave your house. And I was thinking, I said, that poor Christian never gets to use their gift. Never gets to bring their gift to the body. Never gets to allow their part to be used for the kingdom of God because it's just sitting in their home. And it wasn't only that. It was like, well, what takes place if I get sick and I need someone to come and see me or whatever? God said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. As a matter of some has, as we see the day approaching. In other words, you have a part. Your part is just as important as my part. I may operate in a different gift that you have, but God says covet all gifts. And we want all the gifts to be in operation. Some of you have the gifts of speaking in tongues, and you aren't speaking. Some have the gifts of interpretation of tongues, and you're not speaking. Some have the gift of prophecy, and you're not speaking. Doesn't have anything to do with the message. This is just the Holy Spirit speaking. Hello? We have to be aware as children of God of the ploys of the adversary.
True, amen.
Amen? That's why he reveals it to us in the word. He doesn't want us to walk around like 3 blind mice. Amen? That God gave us the Spirit of God to enlighten things, to show things, to reveal things to you and I, to his word. Turn me to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. They seem to be having a lot more fun. You know what the problem is? It's what you've set in your mind as what is fun. It's what the adversary has deceived you with to make you think that that is fun. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because truly, the things that we really thought were fun, weren't fun. I used to think drinking was fun. And the next day was awful. It wasn't fun on the next day. The things that seemed in this world to be fun, they weren't fun. Oh, we were having free sex, and then there was gonorrhea. Then there was clap. Then there was syphilis. Then there was crabs. I'm sure they're fun. I'm just getting a little funky here. All right? Funky but real, right? True? God says in Galatians 6, 7, he says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to his spirit will reap everlasting life. Mom, I want to talk to some mamas and dads in here a minute. There's all these schools. And we have these children today that are coming in and they're killing their friends. They're coming in with guns. They're coming in darkness. And they're sitting at home and in front of the TV. And they got this game where they're killing one another in the game. Everything's about death. Death, 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 death. What comes into the portals of your eyes and your ears will come out. In other words, whatever we let in is going to come out. And that's what's taking place. They have all this kill, 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 kill come in. And somebody says something that bugs them. And they're reminded of the game and they go, and they don't feel a thing. It's lifeless. It's felt because those things were let into the portal. Everything that we let into these portals of these and these feeds our body or feeds our flesh. And that's why we got to get the spirit. That's why we got to feed the spirit. That's why we got to get it into our portals. That's why we got to see it, hear it, read it. We got to do it because that's where it brings us life. You know, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Amen. The Lord spoke to me about something. He spoke to me about, I used to like watching some shows. One of the shows I like to watch is Criminal Minds. And another one I like to watch is SVU, Law and Order. And the Holy Spirit asked me this question. Why would you want to learn and watch someone that kills somebody and follow through how they did it and them searching them out? Or why would you want to see somebody that's raped or has been raped and follow to see how that was done? Why don't you just see how life comes and see how that is done? In other words, what he was talking about my portals. He was talking about what comes in. Because what comes in is what's going to come out. What we hear. That's what he was saying. He says evil communications will corrupt good manners. In other words, if we associate with all these things, it's going to mess us up. You may not see it now, but it will mess you up. It will mess you up. There'll come a time that you'll get irritated. And you respond just as you heard or saw someone else respond. I don't know about you. I want to learn to respond like Jesus. Hello? I spoke to the Lord. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I just want to speak this word and may it come forth in love. Because you know what? I'm not looking down at anybody. Man, I've been covered with a whole lot of grace. I've been covered with a whole lot of mercy. God has forgiven me for so much. So if you've been somewhere, whatever, don't let the devil condemn you and knock you down. God has plans in your life. Amen? He wants to take you to a place of greatness. Amen? Amen? We sang songs this morning. We sang songs about recognizing that every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? Man, I want to walk in kingdom authority. Amen? I want to walk in the authority of the king. Amen? Because I know if my king was living today, and he's living to me and you, but if our king was in this earth right now, and I came to somebody as a king's son, they would look at me a little bit different. Hello? Not because of me, but because of my daddy. Amen? In other words, it's not because of me. It's not because of you, but it's because of our daddy. It's because of his grace and his mercy that flows through our lives. Amen? Praise God. But in Psalms 37, the Word of God says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the noonday, and thy judgment as the... He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the new day." Excuse me. "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Amen. In other words, God, you know, don't be envious of workers of unrighteousness. The Lord was speaking to me about something. This is a good one too. Thank you, Lord. Who do you take counsel from? Who are you taking counsel from? Jesus says this in Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not with the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But take counsel from the ungodly, nor stand with the sinners, nor take the seats with the scornful." Who is counseling you? Are you receiving counsel from people of this world? Sometimes parental counsel is all right. Are your parents spiritually filled? When it comes to things of the Spirit, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand up in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he doeth meditate day and night. He is like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf withereth not. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff the wind bloweth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish. Psalms 1. In other words, be careful where you get your counsel from. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about spiritually. You know, there was a survey. I was listening yesterday. There was a survey done in America. There's 16% of people think in America today that sex outside of the marriage is okay. 36% believe that pornography is all right. 58% believe that cohabitation before marriage is okay. And then there was a statement on there that says this: majority rule. Whatever the majority is should be the moral standard. No, that isn't the moral standard. God set the standard. It isn't my standard, it's God's standard. You know, and as I'm walking towards the Lord, and I'm becoming the image of Jesus Christ, as I'm walking towards him, there's things that fall. And when Jesus and God is taking things from me and I'm walking towards him, he ain't kicking me in the leg. He isn't tripping me up. He isn't knocking me down. He's carrying me in his grace and his mercy and his love.
Amen.
You know? In other words, and that's what you and I as this church needs to understand. When God brings people in that have been addicts and that haven't been in the church and there are all kinds of vices and things going on in their life, don't forget where God found you and I. So many times we get so spiritual we forgot where we were when God found us. He brought me out of the miry clay. See, where he found me in the muck. Then he set me on the rock. Amen? In other words, when I'm standing on the rock, it's the strongest foundation that you can stand on. Nothing can take you off of that rock but you. Jesus says this, I have you in my hand, and I will not let anyone pluck you out. When it comes, he tried to pluck it. He won't. He closes his hand. He's got you in his hand. He's got you and I in his hand. He won't let anybody pluck us out. But he gave you and I a will. We can choose to walk out. God ain't going to make anybody do anything. He isn't going to make me do anything. Now, when I don't do what he asked me to do, I get convicted. I try to do it my way. I find out that my way is the wrong way. Then I come back, and he meets me right where he left me. He makes me come back to that place. He doesn't let me skip it and move to the next one. He breaks me right back where I was. Say, here I am. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Comes right back, and then he starts walking with me again. He never left me. I left him. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us.
That's true.
Amen. But he gave you and I a will. Amen. I don't know what any of this has to do with the message, but praise God. Evidently, God's speaking to someone in the house. Amen. God's speaking to someone in the house. God has a word for every last one that's gathered here today. God drew you here today because he has something to say to you. He has something to say to me. That he loves you and cares for you so much that he drew you from wherever you were at to come here today to hear what he has to say. Amen. Man, what such love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn me to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to go somewhere. Again, when Jesus is speaking to this church at Pergamos, get back to where we were going. Hallelujah. When he is speaking to this church at Pergamos, he is speaking to aged, mature Christians. Let me say this to you. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:2, if you're a new believer in Christ Jesus, listen to me. As a new believer, the Word of God says that you desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. In other words, God's going to give you baby food. Amen? And listen to me. Listen to me. God says he'll never put more on you than you can bear. Amen? Amen? So if you're feeling like something's on you and it's more than you can bear, take your shoe off and pass it to the neighbor. It doesn't belong to you. I get to preach down my socks. Hey, son, I don't have stinky feet, I assure you. If I had stinky feet, I would have took up my shoes, I assure you. I wouldn't want anybody leaving. I turn around, open my eyes, my shoes off, and the crowd is gone. Lord, what happened? Put your shoes on, son. But it looks in Hebrews chapter 5. Hey, man, we love the word, right? Verse number 11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Look at your neighbor and say, are you listening? I got a Q-tip. Clean out that wax. Right? Hallelujah. Let's go. But when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now when Jesus is writing to this church in Pergamos, he is writing to the mature Christians that were allowing things in their life that they weren't trusting the Holy Spirit to help them overcome. In other words, and over us, they were allowing things to come in. And the problem with the things that came in, they were being a hindrance to the weak ones, the babies. Amen? Remember last week we used the illustration of the different chains? You know? Amen? That as leaders, there's a higher expectation as ministers of God. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were," past tense, "some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God." In other words, we need to allow, at one time we were, but we're not any longer. We have to allow the Spirit of God to help us move out of these areas. Amen? In other words, what the Lord does with me and has done with me, and I'm just using this as an example, what the Lord does to me is he comes in and shines his light on an area. He doesn't shine his light on 10 areas because it would be overbearing for me. He comes in and shines his light on an area, and I have conviction in it. And then I say, "Well, Lord, I need help. I can't do it." And God says to me, he says, "Son, I know you can't do it. That's why I'm here to help you." You know, sometimes if we need help, we just need to ask for it. You know, I could do this. Sometimes we can't. You know, that's why the Word of God says in 2 John verse number 10, he says to you and I, he says, if there come any unto you and have not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bid him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. In other words, we hold to the truth of the word. If we'll know the truth and the truth shall make us free, amen. Jesus did not drop the standard, he raised it. Hello? Jesus said in the law, you say that you if you commit adultery, you sin. He said, I'll raise it a little higher. If you look at a woman and dwell on her, you've already committed adultery because you've already done it in your heart. You know, in other words, here's what he said. Hey, guys, pornography is wrong. Sex before marriage is wrong. Young people, you're under peer pressure at school. Oral sex is sex, and it's against God's law. Physical sex in any way is sin, and it's against God's law. Gadgets and things are sin too, and they're against God's law. Amen? Gosh. What are you saying? What God is saying, listen to me, church. That God cares about you so much. And if that one that you think you love is for you, they'll marry you to have you. And you think that they're gonna that if you give yourself, they're gonna want you anyway. They don't want you, they already got you. Just saying. Amen? Just saying. Praise God. Okay. Huh? He says, you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that's going to make you free. In other words, we can't lie and deceive and water down and make everything okay, because in God's eyes, it's not. Grace, God's blood, oh man, Jesus, God looks down at me and he sees nothing but his son. He sees the blood of Jesus. But there's coming a day when I'm going to have to stand before the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost with the blood removed, and I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. And you know what? And I sit there and, you know, I weep and cry and I say, well, Lord, can you, I don't want to, talk to you about that. I don't know what it's going to look like on that day. I mean, it's going to be love. I think our past is going to pass before us, and I don't know how long it's going to take. We have eternity. Who knows what it looks like? If to God a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day, it could be 1,000 years, but it might be like a day. Amen. I don't know. Amen. But we're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You know, when and that doesn't mean that we're perfect. I've said it before. It's the way I look at grace. Grace is like this. It's like walking on a tightrope, following God and his word. And there's a safety net to catch me if I fall. Because we all walk in the flesh. But as I'm walking on that tightrope, I'm not intentionally jumping into the net. You know, God says his word, should I continue in my sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. So, in other words, when I opened up this letter and I start reading, you know, Jesus is warning them to turn because judgment will come. They were covered with blood. They had the Holy Ghost. And he's just warning them that these things. He says, hey, not only are you, it's about association, it's about what you apprehend. It's apprehension, what you take in and what you understand. And the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to hurry this up because I got long-winded. Forgive your pastor for being long-winded. Say, I forgive you. Amen. Thank you. I receive your forgiveness. You know, here's what it's just like this seed. If you point, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is pointing back at me. So I point at anybody. And if you think, well, pastor's picking on me, I'm not picking on you. I'm sharing God's word. Amen. It's God's word. It's not mine. So you know, you may have something that you're dealing with in one area, and I got something that he's dealing with me in an area. And I guess what? There's not one person in the room that's arrived yet. Because none of us would be in this room. If you had arrived, you'd already be with him. It was sort of like Enoch. He walked with God, and he was not, because he had got so close to God, he just went on. Amen? And sometimes in your life, when you have Christian mom and dads and family members, and the Lord just told me to say this, and they go home to be with the Lord at an early age, sometimes it's just like they walked with God, and they was not. Because absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay. I had to go here. Colossians 2:8. What we apprehend, what we take in, our apprehension. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In other words, we've got it all. We got the full package. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And in other words, so what does he say? It comes back here. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, he said in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto him which are saved, it is the power of God. In other words, he's saying, if we have issues, go to the cross. Amen. Take him to the cross. We don't have the cross there just for having a cross in the sanctuary. We have the cross, recognize it, that's where the debt's paid. It's an empty cross because he's in heaven. He didn't stay there. Amen. But it's what the cross represents. It's what the cross stands for. It stands for forgiveness. See, he just isn't going to cover it up. He's going to remove it. You know, in the Old Testament, all they could do is cover something with blood, and it was just hidden. But when Christ comes in and we repent and we turn, he covers that thing and he washes it away. It's removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. He doesn't bring it up, and you don't have to either. And if somebody says, well, I remember you back when, well, that was that other guy. I got a new name now. Amen? I'm not that man any longer. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, now old things have become new. I'm walking in newness of life. And if you can't walk in the freedom of forgiveness, you can't ever walk in liberty. You still walk in bondage. Amen? Sometimes, I said it last week, sometimes God has forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself. That's true. There's nothing you can do to go back and change some things that happened in your past in your life. There's nothing you can do to change it. You forgive it, release it, move on and let it go. Get it under the blood of Jesus. Let him wash it away. Amen? Huh? Then you keep on releasing. He says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you, and you keep casting. Amen? You keep casting. It's just like if you went fishing. You cast your line, and you didn't get a bite. You put it back in. You cast it again. You cast it again. If you went fly fishing, what do? Fly fishing, you got to cast and cast and cast and cast and cast and cast. And sometimes you just got to cast and cast and cast and cast and cast until it don't come back. You know, and sometimes the Bible says this. How many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? You know, said seven times 70. In other words, 490 times. I might have to do something like 490 times to just convince myself that it's finished. Especially when somebody's hurt you. When they've hurt you and you don't allow the blood of Jesus to forgive, to wash away, what happens is the adversary knows how to hit that thing. He knows how to bug you. He knows how to bother you. He knows how to get under your skin. And what he's saying, he said, you've got to let that thing go. Is there anything you can do to change it? So, who is being held a prisoner? In other words, in some ways, I got to say, well, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You have no place in front of me. You have no place in front of me. I'm a child of God. I'm always on the offense. I'm not on the defense. I'm storming the gates of hell. I'm not running from Satan. I'm not running from his demons. All power has been given to you and I in heaven and earth. Now go ye therefore. He didn't say back up. He didn't say run. He said go therefore. Hello? We're conquerors. We're victors. We're winners. This battle has been won. You're thinking in your flesh, Pastor, I don't know if I can do this. You're asking a whole lot. And God is saying again, you can't. But my strength, or Jesus' strength, or God's strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Because it's when I am weak, through him I become strong. Amen. Amen. You know why? You know why the enemy has so much in our lives? Because we're constantly running from instead of running at. Amen. God didn't give us any armor on our back. All my armor is in the front. And the only thing that Satan understands, the only offensive weapon in all this, is the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And we're working and we're running and we're walking in his power and the anointing of God, and we're going to take back some things that the adversary has stolen. Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. Come on. I don't even know who's playing football today because I haven't been watching. Seattle and San Francisco. Now, I'm sure the coach is going to get with San Francisco and Seattle, and they're going to get in the locker room before they go out the field. And I'm going to say this to the team. It's really important to get your team motivated. They're going to say, hey, guys, we can't beat these guys. They're better than us. They're stronger than us. They have better defenders. But we're just going out and do the best we can. Come on now. Come on. God corrected me on something. I hate correction. That so many things that takes place in that and this house, I'm responsible for. I'm the coach. And I saw things that were out of place and I didn't do anything about it. I didn't speak the things that I should have spoke to. And everything that happens was on me. You hear me? I listened to a coach stand up and the other day, and he's before his team, and he's speaking to his team. They had lost. And he stand up and he stood up before the reporters and he said, it's all on me. He didn't point at any player. He didn't point at any of the defense or the offense. He said, it was on me. It was on me. Sometimes, he said, I had a bad game plan. Sometimes I might have put somebody in a place that they weren't strong enough to do that position. And somebody got defeated and hurt and wounded because you didn't watch, because you didn't train, because you didn't encourage, because you didn't motivate. I'm here to motivate you. That you're kings and princes and queens for the kingdom of God, and that you can do all things. That those things that are coming against you are just temporary. God is eternal. Get your minds on the eternal and not on the temporary. They've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You've got to call it done. You've got to get a vision for it being complete. You've got to see your family complete. You've got to see them healed. You've got to see things restored. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. In other words, if you're believing for something, you better see it. Because if you don't see it, you're not going to speak life into it. You're going to speak death into it. And life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. We shouldn't be speaking death. We're givers of life. Amen. I call you blessed. I call you highly favored of God. I call the favor of God shining on your lives. I pray, I call every gift that's been laying dormant in you activated in the name of Jesus. I call you the head, not the tail. I call you blessed, 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 blessed. Come on. Woo! I'm gonna close. Don't want to, but going to. The key, listen to me. Here's the key for every grown-up Christian in the room. There's one verse. It's one sentence. that I want you to hold on to. You know, the Bible says that we're not to be a stumbling block for our brothers. He says when we abide in the light, there's no occasion of stumbling in us, in 1 John 2:10. In other words, when we're abiding in the light, there's no occasion for stumbling in you and I. Amen? We're not to be a stumbling block. A stumbling block is it comes from the Greek word skandalon. It's a trap. It's something that the enemy uses to trip people up. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. There's many that are watching you. They're watching your testimony. The Bible says there's you're compassed about with such a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every sin, weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Him. Amen. God is saying this to you today. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful. 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 He will see it through. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what it feels like, I walk by faith, not by sight. I walk by what God says about me. That's what faith is all about. Faith is to believe in what God says, not what the report comes in, not the report, but what God said. He said, with my stripes you are healed. With your stripes, I am healed. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what the report says, he says, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. He said, he gives us a new name. It's in a white stone. You know, in the old court system, if you're innocent, you got a white stone, and you didn't want to see the black stone because the black stone was guilty. And Jesus says, I've given you a new name. Amen. And it's in a white stone representing innocent. 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 He says, why? Because you overcame. Because you were an overcomer. We overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So in closing today, what is he saying? Hey, you'll know the truth. This is a deeper revelation of truth. You'll know the truth, and it's the truth that will make you free. We looked a little at the association. We got off a couple sidetracks. We looked at the apprehension, what we take in, what we receive. Amen? We looked at the application. The application is, hey, we're not to trip anyone else up. We're not to be a stumbling block to someone else. Amen? You know, and I want you to get a hold of this. If you get a hold of nothing else today, get a hold of this revelation regarding your sins that you asked Jesus to forgive you for. He says he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you are made whole. Or you are healed. Yeah. You know, that word healed in the Greek comes from the Greek word sozo, means healed body, mind, soul, and spirit. Complete healing. Complete healing. That means that I can receive emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, I bless your holy name. Because all souls belong to him. Amen. Praise God. Hey, a couple weeks they're going to have the NFL Super Bowl. And I believe that 2014 is the year of the Super Bowl for the church, for the body of Christ. I believe it's time for the church to arise. Amen. And this happens when you recognize who's in you. Who's in you? Who's in you? The one that is in you and I is greater than what we're facing. No matter what we're faced with, the one that's in me is greater than him. We sang that song, how great is our God. How strong is our God. Then, you know, when I see somebody picking on me or persecuting me or saying something about me, talk to Daddy. Talk to Big Brother. You talk to him, he'll talk to me. I hear when people, you know, I'm not talking about if you have something if I'm out of order. I'm just telling people that hate things of God. You know. Lord, show me one time. Show me that there was a heavenly host of angels that was canvassing about the place. It's canvassing about this place. There's angels that walk with you everywhere you go. Sometimes you wonder something happened in your life and you were spared or you can't understand how it happened. There's angels that are looking out after you, watching out for you that God sent. They're recognized in Hebrews 1:14 as ministering spirits. I'm going to close with this. I was riding down the road one time and I was talking to a young man. I was taking to a young adult group. And I wouldn't pay attention. Everybody that's rode with me, that's where that pray without ceasing comes in, because they learn to pray without ceasing while they're riding with me because I don't pay attention to the road. I know it's there and everything. And I'm riding along, going like 55, 60 miles an hour. And talking to him, and there was a car stopped right in front of me here. And when I looked at 55 miles an hour, I'm probably right here, this close to this car. Where Cody is sitting. And it blew this man's socks off, blew my socks off. The Holy Spirit, or an angel or something, took the car, took it over and around, and set it over on the other side of the road in front of him, because there was a car coming the other way. Never touched the brakes, never skidded, never did anything. And it took us right around that car. You know, and sometimes, if I was in the world, I would say, man, I'm a really good driver. Hey, buddy, did you see that? Did you see the way I just maneuvered around that car? But I recognized it wasn't me. It was him. And God wants you to know that he's a plan in your life, but the adversary doesn't like it. And he'll bring things in your path and in your way to try to dissuade you and to change your mind. But you got to keep your eyes like flame. You got to stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. Praise God. Lord, I thank you today for your word. And Lord, I thank you for sending your word here in the house today. And your word says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to give the opportunity. If there's anyone here that does not know Jesus, he says, for whosoever calls on my name shall be saved. If that is you and you